The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Restoring the Character Ethic. Author, Stephen R. Covey. Why the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is a business classic. Although first published in 1989, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is still widely read and used as a training tool in many multinational organizations. The book provides timeless insights not only in success, problem solving, management, or leadership, but also in personal effectiveness, an attribute that never fades with time. Should one attempt applying the lessons contained in this book, he or she will acquire many skills that will make them proactive, purposeful, able to prioritize their missions, empathetic listeners with renewed bodies, minds, spirits, and social relationships. Additionally, they'll be able to transcend their circle of concern and move to a circle of influence. The personality and character ethic. Almost all the literature in the first 150 years or so focused on what could be called the character ethic as the foundation of success. Things like integrity, humility, fidelity, temperance, courage, justice, patience, industry, simplicity, modesty, and the golden rule. Benjamin Franklin's autobiography is representative of that literature. It is basically the story of one man's effort to integrate certain principles and habits deep within his nature. The character ethic taught that there are basic principles of effective living, and that people can only experience true success and enduring happiness as they learn and integrate these principles into their basic character. The power of a paradigm. The 7 habits embody many of the fundamental principles of human effectiveness. These habits are basic, but they are primary. They represent the internalization of correct principles upon which enduring happiness and success are based. But before we can really understand these 7 habits, we need to understand our own paradigms and how to make a paradigm shift. Both the character ethic and the personality ethic are examples of social paradigms, that is, a model, theory, perception, assumption, or frame of reference. In the more general sense, it's the way we see the world. Not in terms of our visual sense of sight, but in terms of perceiving, understanding, and interpreting. The 7 Habits. An overview. Albert Einstein observed that the significant problems we face cannot be solved at the same level of thinking we were at when we created them. We need a new level, a deeper level of thinking, a paradigm based on the principles that accurately describe the territory of effective human being and interacting, to solve these deep concerns. This level of thinking is what the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is about. It's a principle-centered, inside-out approach to personal and interpersonal effectiveness. Inside-out means to start with self, even more fundamentally, to start with the most inside part of the self, with your paradigms, your character, and your motives. For our purposes, we will define a habit as the intersection of knowledge, skill, and desire. Knowledge is the theoretical paradigm, the what to do and the why. Skill is how to do, and desire is the motivation, the want to do. Habit 1. Be proactive. We're not our feelings. We're not our moods. We're not even our thoughts. The very fact that we can think about these things separates us from them. The very fact that we can think about these things separates us from them and from the animal world. The very fact that we can think about these things separates us from them and from the animal world. Self-awareness enables us to stand apart and examine even the way we see ourselves, our self-paradigm, the most fundamental paradigm of effectiveness. It affects not only our attitudes and behaviors, but also how we see other people. It becomes our map of the basic nature of mankind. Habit 2. Begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind is based on the principle that all things are created twice. There's a mental, or first creation, and a physical, or second creation, to all things. The carpenter's rule is measure twice, cut once. You have to make sure that the blueprint, the first creation, is really what you want, that you've got everything through. Then, you put into bricks and mortar. Each day you go to the construction shed and pull out the blueprint to get marching orders for the day. You begin with the end in mind. Habit 3. Put first things first. Effective management is putting first things first. While leadership decides what first things are, it is management that puts them first day by day, moment by moment. Management is discipline, carrying it out. Discipline derives from disciple. Disciple to a philosophy. Disciple to a set of principles. Disciple to an overriding purpose, to a superordinate goal, or a person who represents the goal. In other words, if you're an effective manager of yourself, your discipline comes from within. It is a function of your independent will. You're a disciple, a follower, of your own deep values and their source. And you have the will, the integrity, to subordinate your feelings, your impulses, and your moods to those values. Habit 4. Think win-win. Win-win is a frame of mind and heart that constantly seeks mutual benefits in all human interactions. Win-win means that agreements or solutions are mutually beneficial, mutually satisfying. With a win-win solution, all parties feel good about the decision and feel committed to the action plan. Win-win sees life in terms of dichotomies. Strong or weak, hardball or softball, win or lose. But that kind of thinking is fundamentally flawed. It's based on power and position rather than on principle. Win-win is based on the paradigm that there is plenty for everybody. Win-win is based on the paradigm that there's plenty for everybody. That one person's success is not achieved at the expense or exclusion of the success of others. Win-lose. One alternative to win-win is win-lose. In leadership style, win-lose is the authoritarian approach. Win-lose people are prone to use position, power, credentials, possessions, or personality to get their way. Lose-win. Lose-win is worse than win-lose because it has standards, no demands, no expectations, no vision. People who think lose-win are usually quick to please or appease. They seek strength from popularity or acceptance. They have little courage to express their own feelings and convictions or easily intimidated by the ego strength of others. In negotiation, lose-win is seen as capitulation, giving in or giving up. Win-lose people love lose-win people because they can feed on them. They love their weaknesses. They take advantage of them. Lose-lose is the philosophy of adversarial conflict, the philosophy of war. Lose-lose is also the philosophy of the highly dependent person without inner direction who is miserable and thinks everybody else should be too. People with the win mentality don't necessarily want someone else to lose. That's irrelevant. What matters is that they get what they want. When there's no sense of contest or competition, win is probably the most common approach in everyday negotiation. Habit 5. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Seek first to understand involves a very deep shift in paradigm. We typically seek first to be understood. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. They're either speaking or preparing to speak. They're filtering everything through their own paradigms, reading their autobiography into other people's lives. When people are really hurting and you really listen with a pure desire, you'll be amazed how fast they'll open up. They want to open up. Children want desperately to open up, even more to their parents than their peers, and they will, if they feel their parents will love them unconditionally and will be faithful to them afterwards and not judge or ridicule them. Habit 6. Synergize. What is synergy? Simply defined, it means that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It means that the relationship which the parts have to each other is a part in and of itself. It is not only a part, but the most catalytic, the most empowering, the most unifying, and the most exciting part. The creative process is also the most terrifying part, because you don't know exactly what's going to happen, or where it's going to happen, or where it's going to lead. You don't know what new dangers you will find. It takes an enormous amount of internal security to begin with the spirit of adventure, the spirit of discovery, the spirit of creativity. Without doubt, you have to leave the comfort zone and unknown wilderness. You become a trailblazer, a pathfinder. You open new possibilities, new territories, new continents, so that others can follow. The challenge is to apply the principles of creative cooperation, which we learn from nature, in our social interactions. Family life provides many opportunities to observe synergy and to practice it. The very way that a man or a woman brings a child into the world is synergistic. The essence of synergy is to value differences, to respect them, to build on strengths, to compensate for weaknesses. Habit 7. Sharpen the saw. Principles of balanced self-renewal. Philosopher Herb Shepherd describes the healthy balanced life around four values: perspective, spiritual, autonomy, mental, connectedness, social, and tone, physical. George Sheehan, the running guru, describes four roles: being a good animal, physical, a good craftsman, mental, a good friend, social, and a saint, spiritual. Sharpen the saw basically means expressing all four motivations. It means exercising all four dimensions of our nature, regularly and consistently in wise and balanced ways. The physical dimension involves caring effectively for our physical body, eating the right kinds of food, getting sufficient rest and relaxation, and exercising on a regular basis. The spiritual dimension is your spiritual core, your center, your commitment to your value system. It's a very private area of life and a supremely important one. It draws upon the sources that inspire and uplift you and tie you to the timeless truths of all humanity. The mental dimension. Most of our mental development and study discipline comes through formal education, but as soon as we leave the external discipline of school, many of us let our minds atrophy. The social and emotional dimensions. The social and emotional dimensions of our lives are tied together because our emotional life is primarily, but not exclusively, developed out of and manifested into our relationships with others. Finally, by centering our lives on correct principles and creating a balanced focus between doing and increasing our ability to do, we become empowered in the task of creating effective, useful, and peaceful lives for ourselves and for our posterity.